Welcome to SEC Sports Roundtable, episode 150. SEC Bowl Previews, Part 2. Recorded Monday, December 22nd, 2014. This week, Shane Bailey and Nick Jones of Bama Hammer look at the second group of four bowl games for the SEC. The matchups include Georgia versus Louisville, Ole Miss versus TCU, Mississippi State versus Georgia Tech, and Auburn versus Wisconsin. They also discussed the early results from the SEC men's basketball and what do they expect to see once SEC play starts in 2 weeks. All this and more on tonight's SEC SRT. Welcome to SEC Sports Roundtable. This is your host, Shane Bailey. We are right in the middle of our bowl previews. It seems like I've been saying we're right in the middle of, not too long ago when we were breaking down each team for our preseason, and we're already looking at the bowl matchups. You know, the bowl season has officially started. SEC action has not yet begun. So we're going to do a three-part set of podcasts that's going to look at each of the bowl games, of the 12 bowl games. We've already done part one earlier last week, and that covered South Carolina, A&M, Arkansas, and LSU. So if you're looking for a breakdown of those, go back and check out SEC SRT 149 is the episode prior to this, and you'll be able to get that preview. But tonight, joining me, we have Nick Jones. Welcome, Nick.
Shane, it's good to be back. Watching the Memphis game earlier today, I mean, just to be reminded, I know a lot of people, I tweeted this out earlier today, a lot of people want to, get rid of some of these smaller games, but I'll tell you what, if you're sitting home like us, nothing to do, if you're wrapping presents or something, why not watch some football, you know what I mean?
And we talked about this, I think it was on the last podcast, and you weren't able to join us. You know, with all the turmoil from Texas, at least the way this championship broke out and Baylor, TCU are on the outside looking in. Aside from that, and I've got my own beefs with the way that happened, I'm not upset that Ohio State was four, but I think that realistically the committee knew that if Ohio State won that game, they were going to be that fourth place team. Why not the week prior rule all hope for Texas out and say Ohio State's got to lose for you to get in, as opposed to giving them all this false hope coming into that final week? And I'll get your comments on that. But what they did do right is everything else, because there is, I mean, all these bowl matchups from the lower tier and even the programs that didn't make the national championship or the Big Six, there's just a ton of great matchups, SEC, non-SEC. This is really, looking at it, an exciting bowl season altogether. But feel free to comment on the prior top four as well.
Yeah, I mean, in my opinion, I mean, obviously, we can't say this, but I think you're right. I mean, I don't really have any beef with them picking Ohio State. I think that they kind of looked at it and they said, well, with this head-to-head thing that we've got going here, it was just the easier decision, Why don't we just leave the two Texas teams out and bring in Ohio State? And like you said, that was kind of a dicey situation. But, one thing I think, I don't think I've been on the podcast since all this came out, but one thing that I would push for us to get away from that is this week-to-week rankings. I don't think they're going to get away from it because, as we've talked about before, it was just, it gives us something to talk about, but it was just a huge TV thing. They flew in the entire selection committee each week to, be on TV, be on ESPN. Jeff Long making all these SportsCenter and College Football Live, hits every week. So I doubt that they're going to cut out the mid-season and on rankings for the college football playoff, but if you think about it, I mean, would we have been upset if we hadn't have seen the rankings weeks before leading up to this, which I guess that goes back to, people wanting rankings, and there's a lot of debate around that, but I think you're right. I mean, you look at this Miami Bowl game, the Miami Beach Bowl or whatever they're calling it today. I mean, it, you know, first overtime game in a couple years. I mean, and if you look at them, even if you're just a college football fan, maybe not an SEC fan, my favorite part of the bowl season is just about every single game you can find a storyline. And if you're like me, you kind of, you know, look into that, you kind of buy into those things. I mean, you look at the Memphis game today. Memphis, you know, was what, 3-9 last year, and they came into the game today 9-3. You know, I mean, just all these things, and just being able to see some teams that you don't normally see. I mean, and the contrasting styles. I don't know. It's awesome for me. I know some people just don't like to sit around and watch football, but you know, when you can't get enough football, especially knowing that, you know, in what, 4 weeks or so, we won't even have football for another 3 or 4 months. It's a great way to end the season for me. You know, watching all these teams, and heck, even if you're not an SEC fan, some great games around the nation.
Yeah, no, good comments there. Well, let's take a look at the four we have. But before we do, you know, Nick, I want to see, you alluded to the fact that, you know, we only have a couple more weeks left of football, and then it disappears for a while. So what you have to, but your season's really starting to ramp up, because you write for Bama Hammer. And you know, and you write a lot for the Alabama basketball side of things, and that whole thing is heating up. And just give me some, before we get into the bowls, give me an overall impression of what we're thinking about the SEC. Is it going to be up this year? Is it going to be down? Is the strength where we thought it was going to be? Aside from Kentucky, I don't think anybody expected them to be as good as they are. They expected greatness, but that's unbelievable. But everybody else, the other 13 teams, what do we have to look forward to when SEC play starts in, you know, a little over 2 weeks?
You know, Britton, I know Britton, you know, has his irks and may not want to hear this, but this year is going to be pretty similar to the last couple of years. I think there's going to be a little bit more parity in that, say, 2-6 range, 2-7 range, which is, if you're a basketball fan, it's really interesting because you know, you go out and you think about why people love the NBA and MLB and the, any pro, you know, the NFL, why people like that is because there's so much parity. And that's what I would tell you. That's going to be the draw this year outside of Kentucky. These 2 to maybe 7 or 8 in the SEC, anybody could beat anybody. I mean, Alabama looks okay. I mean, they have potential, and it's exciting at times, but, you know, they're still going to trip up. And you've got a lot of teams like that. I mean, Bruce Pearl has looked very disappointing to start the season, and then they come back home and beat Xavier in overtime, a team that a lot of people think has a chance to win the Big East. So, and the emergence of LSU, a lot of people think they could be a tournament team. Texas A&M playing well right now, but then you've got, you know, some of those traditional powers that we might say. I know Mississippi State hasn't been great in several years, but they are just off to a horrible start. I think they've been upset 2 or 3 times. Ole Miss, who's been up there in the past, doesn't look as great as they have been. Tennessee may be a little down, but you know, first of all, every SEC team or you know school should at least take the time. If you have Kentucky coming to your house, you better go see them. I'm going to encourage you to do that. I mean, watching that Kentucky-UCLA game, you better believe I'm going to be there when they come to Tuscaloosa. Even if we get beat by 50, you know, I'm still going to be able to say that, you know, I saw one of the best Kentucky teams ever. But I think this is still going to be a year where the SEC is going to be hard-pressed to maybe put more than 3 tournament teams, you know, teams into the tournament. I could be wrong about that. But if you just want to watch good basketball and maybe to scare some people out there, but if you're Alabama, if you're Auburn, if you're Georgia, even LSU, teams like that, I mean, outside of Kentucky, you could go out and win every game, but at the same time, you might be on upset alert every night, too. So I think it's going to be a good basketball season, but I don't think the SEC is still where we want it to be. But, you know, Shane, last year, we talked about this. We dogged the SEC all year, and Tennessee and Kentucky surprised us in the tournament, and we, you know, we look stupid, but the SEC looks great. So I don't know. We can hope for a good finish like last year.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's kind of where my impressions were headed, and I wanted to get someone that, as much as I watch every Kentucky ball game, that's been the extent of most of my basketball watching on the SEC right now. But what I was thinking was when we were looking, and we haven't really done a basketball preview, but when we talked basketball early in the season. We thought that the SEC was going to be improved, but you know, as I've watched some of the performances and the results that have happened, I'm kind of feeling like we're going to be sliding a little bit more back towards last year and not have the quality, aside from, you know, the top couple teams that we did last, you know, and that makes me sad, because from a SEC standpoint, to come tournament time, it only makes the SEC look better when we can get four or five teams into the tournament, as opposed to hoping to get a third team in. I mean, we were last year just happy to get that third team in, and we're looking like that might be the case again this year.
Yeah, I mean, and you look at basketball. I mean, you know, we get caught up in football and talk about it so much, but you're right. Basketball, you kind of judge the power of the conference not by, you know, we get caught up in the SEC West. I mean, we do talk about that a little bit, how Arkansas is so good, even though they're, you know, kind of the bottom tier of the league. But in basketball, you're truly judged on a national standpoint by your bottom teams. You know, I mean, Kentucky's great, obviously, but I'm not sure there's anybody that could beat Kentucky this year in the SEC, much less in non-conference games. So you're right. From an SEC, you know, hearted standpoint, it's kind of sad to be sitting here of what, especially what the SEC has had before, you know, saying, well, I wish we could get that third or fourth team in there. But, and the disappointing thing is, too, you don't have, I mean, Florida's not playing near as well. And, you know, they were, I think at one point last year, ranked number one. So, I don't know. I mean, it's going to be a competitive league for sure, but not necessarily a national power.
Yeah, and that has to change in the long term for the SEC. Has to change for the SEC network, has to change for the SEC, just because they need something to fill programming throughout the non-football years. We already talked about, was it week 13 in the SEC this year, where it was just Cupcake Central, and some of the issues with the play and quality of play that the SEC network was able to have to put out there. And that's going to have to change on football as far as the scheduling and who schedules what when. But the basketball has to get a little bit more improved. I don't think you have to have the same elite where everybody in the West, you know, half of your conference can compete for a national championship. But you don't need to be the, you don't need the bottom to be as bad as it is. And predominantly the SEC East has had good programs. I mean, South Carolina, Georgia, Vanderbilt, Florida national championship team, Kentucky national championship team. But you're not getting that push and that surge. And then on the West, you always had Arkansas and LSU, you know, that year after year had a good quality program. Mississippi State did that for a long time. And you're just not seeing some of that quality. And that has to change long term, I think, for the SEC.
Yeah, and real quick, we talked about this kind of last year and maybe even before that as well, but it's been extremely disappointing. I mean, Texas A&M wasn't known for basketball, but we really talked about, and I guess it kind of shows how much we know, but we talked about how Missouri's strength in the SEC was going to be basketball. It wasn't going to be football. And, you know, 3 years down the road, they've been to back-to-back SEC championships in football. And, I mean, they had some talent 2 or 3 years ago on the basketball side, but they have been nowhere near what we thought that they would be in basketball. So, you know, we kind of thought that Missouri was going to bring that needed, you know, extra team that was going to push everybody, but hasn't happened right now in basketball. So, I don't know. It's as much as I want to bring good news, it's probably going to be similar to last year.
Well, that's what I was afraid you were going to say. So let's go to something that's a little more brighter of an outlook, and that's going to be this slate of games we get to look at now. So since we're going in order, the next one in order of kickoff, at least by my math, is going to be the Belk Bowl, which is going to be in Charlotte, at where the Panthers play, and it's going to be Georgia and Louisville. That should be a pretty good game.
Yeah, I mean, two top 25 teams, something that you look forward to. I think Charlotte is just a great place for these two teams. You talk about how Alabama and Clemson and LSU and Clemson have played in the Georgia Dome before. I think this is a very centrally located, I guess we'll see how well, you know, Louisville fans travel in the midst of basketball season now. But And Shane, I'm sure you know a little bit more about Louisville, but I mean, they've been rock solid on defense this year. I was really impressed. You know, they put together, what was it, at least a half, you know, probably three good quarters against Jameis and Florida State, which seems like every team has this year. But still, they've got that corner who I think won the best DB award not too long ago. And, you know, the way that Georgia's playing, not to get into predictions, but I think Louisville has a real shot if they can somehow limit Nick Chubb and make Hudson Mason, you know, attempt to beat them. I think they have a really good chance of winning this game, and it should be evenly matched. I would expect a pretty good crowd in Charlotte, you know, right there in the SEC Network headquarters. So two teams that at least Georgia you would probably think would be in a better bowl game than the Belk Bowl, but really good matchup.
That's what we were expecting at the beginning of the season, at least, was the fact that Georgia should be competing for a better bowl than this. It's got to be a little disappointing if you're a Georgia fan to be playing at Charlotte, to be playing before New Year's, not being in one of the Big Six. But, you know, I'm gonna tell you that with all that defense can be for Louisville, there's still a great opportunity for Georgia to score. Look what Kentucky did against Louisville in the last, you know, their last game of the season. It took them all the way down to the end, and it was a back-and-forth battle, and it was a high-scoring battle. I mean, they scored almost – they each scored to the 40s, I think. I'm trying to remember what the final score was of that game. And you look at a Kentucky program who offensively was having trouble – 44-40, yeah. I thought they both scored in the 40s. And Kentucky had some opportunities towards the end to try to win that game. You see that, and with Kentucky, you have a quarterback that was very mobile that could run the ball, but you also had – you didn't have bruising backs like you do with Georgia, but the running game was somewhat effective. The passing game was very effective, and as – you know, I wouldn't put Hudson Mason on the same caliber as Tolles, especially since he's a freshman. But they're going to have to be similar just because Mason's experience and understanding the system and being in working for a system that deals with the pressure that you do at Georgia, a lot of those things are going to be in his favor. You know, they had some quarterback issues at Louisville too, and I don't know, is their quarterback going to be back or is he still out and their freshman's going to have to still play because they had a freshman quarterback playing against Kentucky. And so you turn around and you look at that. He was incredible. He did show incredible poise, ran that system really well, but it's still a freshman. And so if you have that going in there in a big bowl game against an experienced defense like Georgia, that's still going to be hard for them to do. And it is a Louisville team that had three losses, and I think some of those were bad losses as well. Let me pull that schedule back up real fast. When you look at that, who they lost to, of course, your internet never works as quickly as you'd like.
And one thing, too, I was just looking through. SB Nation has this really great bowl calendar if you're looking for one. But another thing, too, that I completely forgot about is the fact that, you know, Georgia – last year was kind of disappointing too, you know, going to the Gator Bowl. But they actually lost to Bobby Petrino in Nebraska. So, you know, coming off that, but I had totally forgotten about the quarterback situation. I don't think Gardner's going to be back. Last time I checked, he was out for the year. I think he had an ACL or something. But you're right. And just the fact of how many points that Louisville has been giving up lately, I would give Georgia the edge in this one. But I think it could be competitive. It has a chance to be competitive. I mean, you got Petrino, you know, still in the early stages of this, you know, Louisville bringing them back, you know, trying to get back into the national elites, I guess, where they were at one point. But you're right. I mean, three conference losses for Louisville.
Yeah, Virginia I think Virginia wasn't a great loss for them, was it?
I don't even know if Virginia's bowl eligible. They might not be.
Clemson's a pretty decent loss, and so is Florida State. So, you know, Virginia is their only question mark as far as what you're looking at as far as a bad loss. with that program. Yeah, they've got 7 losses, so they were 5-7. So they lost to a team that wasn't bowl eligible.
Right.
And had trouble their last game when you got into SEC play, playing an SEC team that didn't become bowl eligible. So all that being said, they've got some issues. Doesn't mean that it's not they're not going to be able to score. You know, because if you look at what they were able to put up in the ACC, they were putting up really decent numbers. A lot of games they scored 30 plus. A win against Murray State, we'll have to discount that one at 66 points. But other than that, you know, that offense is still going to score. And so can Georgia's defense come in and put that stout shutout that you've seen them put in the past? And if they come to show up and play, it could be a rout on Georgia's side of the ball. But how excited is Georgia going to be playing in the Belk Bowl? And those are the things that you can never determine. You know, I think they were flat last year because of their bowl, where they were seated. You've already talked about that. And so that's the problem with bowl games to me is it's the better team, I don't think, always can win unless you're talking about some of the – even some of the big six. When you're disappointed you're not playing for the national championship, there's a little bit of letdown that some of these teams have, especially in the SEC over the last couple of years. LSU's been flat in bowl games. Alabama was flat last year in their bowl game. Georgia. So you get that sometimes, and that's what's, to me, really difficult about pinpointing who can win this. But if this was a regular season game, I would say that it's hands down Georgia by 10. When you throw in all the unknowns of what the bowl season provides for an SEC team that's not playing – for a championship, who knows?
Yep, I think you're right. It's, and I'm sure this will come up later, but like you said, it's just a wild card. I mean, Alabama, I would have probably, we'd have to watch the tape back, see what we said about last year's Sugar Bowl, but, you know, I fully expected Alabama to do, not lose the game, but do much better, especially with the talent that they had last year. Obviously they didn't, but I think you're right, and Georgia does. I mean, there's several SEC teams, like you said, LSU, Alabama, and that probably doesn't bode all that well for Georgia, especially, like we said, not being too enthused about going to Charlotte after the season that, you know, what could have been for them, but that's why it's so hard to predict these, but, you know, I think you're right. If the right Georgia shows up and if Nick Chubb can get it going over 100 yards plus, I mean, we've seen what he can do. And that defense, you know, pitched some shutouts against some really good SEC talent. It could go either way.
Yeah. So let's close the book on the Dogs and stick with the state of Georgia, though, because the next game we look at is in Atlanta at the Chick-fil-A Peach Bowl. The Landshark Old Miss Rebels get to play the Horned Frogs at TCU. I'm really excited about this game. I don't think Ole Miss is going to have that same kind of letdown. And that's what I would – I'll say there's a threshold you get to where all of a sudden teams are happy to be in bowl games in the SEC, and you're going to get what you truly expect from them. So even though Mississippi State's got to be let down on how they finished the season, they've still got to be happy with their bowl. Ole Miss has got to be happy with their bowl. And this gives them a great opportunity. And this is an opportunity for TCU to try to get some redemption. We already hinted to, you know, them being on the outside looking in of the Final Four in the championship. So they get stuck playing Ole Miss. This is their opportunity to say that the committee, you made a really, 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 really bad mistake. But Ole Miss is going to be there and given time to get healthy. You know, they've had some, especially on the defensive side of the ball, they've had some issues with health, and this is going to get some of those guys back, and that's where they were the strongest was defensively. And so, you know, that's going to go right up against the offensive threat that TCU brings to the table every week. So I'm really excited about this game.
Yeah, you know, as much as I think Ole Miss had such a rocky year, and it's kind of weird to say that because, like you said, I think if Ole Miss looks at their season, at their production as a whole, they're probably excited you know, to be in this Peach Bowl game, especially against the opponent that they have, talking about how TCU's been up there and is extremely disappointed, you know, literally a hair from making the college football playoff. If Laquon Treadwell is playing in this game, it's a different game to me. But, I mean, you look at them, and TCU has prided themselves on defense, and that's one thing that I'm excited to see, because even though Ole Miss hasn't really put up incredible numbers on offense, and we've talked about it for several years now, what Hugh Freeze does with that offense and what Bo Wallace can be if he's on. I mean, they beat Alabama this year. They're a quality team. But to see this TCU team, like you said, I mean, it could depend on, you know, if they're either really let down or really enthused about, you know, making a statement in this game. But the third, they're third in points per game on offense, fifth in points per yards per game, and 16th in passing. I mean, they have some incredible athletes. They've got Catalan, their running back, you know, Boykin at quarterback. Just so many guys on the outside, and they were. I've watched a couple of their games, and even though they're kind of playing mediocre talent week to week, other than Baylor and a couple of those teams, they remind me a lot of an SEC school. You know, obviously you can't really make that comparison until they play somebody, and obviously they're going to get to play Ole Miss. But just the way that they play defense and they assert themselves on defense, and how high powered their offense is. I think it's going to be a great game, and I think the teams match up really well.
Yeah. You know, I don't think – are they saying that Treadwell can be back for this game?
I hadn't heard anything. Maybe so. I don't know.
I don't think there's any way he's going to get back from that kind of injury. I mean, there's certain breaks that you can get back to in 6 weeks like this, but the way that ankle broke, I don't – consider me crazy, but I don't think there's any way he's getting back. Saying that, I also gave Ole Miss zero chance of winning the Egg Bowl because of that, and they were able to find a way to win. And so as big a factor as he can be if he's back, they're still going to be okay without him. And that's what surprised me offensively, is how they were able to still be able to perform at such a high level. I would love to say that Ole Miss can dominate this one. I think there is a legitimate chance for Ole Miss to lose, but I'm a SEC homer. I'm picking Ole Miss by 3.
Yeah, and the line, you know, the line's TCU by 3, so I think I definitely think it's going to be a really close game. And I mean, I'm excited just about every single bowl game, but this is one that, you know, whatever you're doing, I'd clear your schedule. You need to watch this game, because just the way that TCU has been in the national media. Gary Patterson, you know, a lot of I don't know if he won the Big Coach of the Year award, but should be considered for several Coach of the Year awards. And, you know, like you said, I think it's a totally different conversation, and Ole Miss wouldn't be in this bowl game if they wouldn't have won that game. But just the way that they finished the season, especially after losing Treadwell and, you know, playing just a great Mississippi State team so well in the Egg Bowl, that really changed my view on them as well. And, you know, call me crazy, but I think they have a lot more momentum than TCU does. It's really hard to get as much as TCU was talked about and in that top four for so long, you know, there for 2 or 3 weeks, really thought that they had it locked up. I wouldn't be surprised if TCU came out a little flat. I wouldn't say, you know, like an Alabama performance last year. I think they're still going to make it a game, but I'm kind of with you. I think Ole Miss probably by, you know, a field goal or so.
Yeah, it's... That's one where it's tough for me to pick an SEC team. And it's not that I don't like Ole Miss, because I've picked against them quite a bit this year. It's just that TCU program, it's a legitimate program. And, you know, that's why they're both playing in one of the Big Six bowl games. It's not just one of those flash-in-the-pan kind of matchups. And that's where you really see some great matchups, is in that Big Six. While we're talking about the Egg Bowl in Ole Miss, you know, let's switch gears and talk about the other side of that, and that's Mississippi State coming off some losses to close out the season and kind of, you know, sputter as they ran to the finish line. They've lost a defensive coordinator in Jeff Collins, and it looks like, you know, there's not going to be one replacing him for the bowl game. So he's not going to, you know, have somebody in there. On top of that, you've got Georgia Tech running that triple option, which can be just hard to defend. That's got me a little worried, even though Mullen is not too concerned about that. But having some losses to end the season, being down, having a defensive coordinator leave, there's just some things that make me scared of this game as well. Because Mississippi State didn't look like the same program the last four games, even though they won some of those, that they did the beginning of the season.
Yeah, you're exactly right. And, you know, Dak Prescott's production's a little down. I still think that, you know, they've got the athletes, they've got the guys outside. I think you're right. It's going to be we're going to have to watch Mississippi State on defense, because I saw a quote from Mullen, I think it was today or yesterday, saying that he wasn't even going to name a defensive coordinator or, you know, whoever's going to work with the defense until after they get down to the bowl game, which I thought was just crazy, because they're in bowl practice right now, I'm sure, at least, you know, have been this week or last week or this weekend or whatever. But, you know, I guess the saving grace probably is that Georgia Tech's defense did not look great against Florida State. I mean, Florida State's offense is pretty good, but, you know, they had been on a hot streak of, you know, I'm looking at their schedule. They gave up 38 points against Georgia Southern, another triple option team, which is kind of interesting. But, you know, they're holding, you know, most of these schools, especially in the ACC, under, you know, 20 to 25 points. And, you know, the way that Georgia Tech's offense has been running this year, they're putting up 31 points or more in every single game. It's going to be tough to beat them if you're not going to score. And I think you're right. It's going to come down to if Mississippi State can stop the triple option, which, you know, in the past, I mean, Georgia had trouble with it the last week of the regular season. And, I mean, even out teams like Alabama, very disciplined defenses, it's just something that you don't see every week. Really see, you know, if you're lucky, even during the season, once, unless you play, you know, like a Naval Academy or a Service Academy. And it's just so hard if you don't run that style of offense to duplicate it during practice. So not having, you know, Collins there and, you know, not having a defensive presence definitely raises some red flags.
I guess if you've got to look at the positive, and I've already said I'm an SEC homer, so I'm picking them to win, State, that is. One good thing is it's not like you only have 6 days to prepare before your next game.
Right.
You know, so they get time to work on this every day in practice defensively. In addition to that, one thing that the triple option really does to a defense is wears them down. You know, because they have to stay so disciplined, they're always running, and you're after two or three guys, sometimes four guys. With Mississippi State, though, I mean, they basically have a platoon system defensively where they can bring a whole new set in. I think that's going to be a big positive for them. That's something that really Georgia, even though they had depth, I don't think they had the same amount of depth defensively as Mississippi State. So that's one big advantage I think Mississippi State will have, is that, you know, they've got all those guys on the defensive line that they can just sub in and out in mass substitutions and give them some rest. And that's going to help them, because the triple option really starts to wear the team down in the third and fourth quarter. And Mississippi State's going to have an opportunity to stay fresh and be able to scheme for it much, much greater than another program in a regular season game.
Right. And you got to look at it, too. I mean, at one point, I know, you know, Mississippi State hasn't been playing or didn't finish the year very well. But, you know, we talked about for several weeks there, especially leading up to the Alabama game, just how deep and how physical Mississippi State's defense was. I mean, you still have Bernardo McKinney. This is still the same team. I mean, I know demeanor means a lot, but like you said, the depth that Mississippi State has, other than like a Florida State, Georgia Tech has not seen that. I mean, even Georgia doesn't have the defense that they have in the past. So Mississippi State is definitely, even though, I mean, coaching is a lot, but they do have the talent to stop a team like this. But it comes down to, you know, doing your job and, you know, shooting the right gaps and not biting on the pitches and everything like that. But, you know, it's tough. It really is. And I can definitely see Georgia Tech winning for that reason. But if you look at talent-wise, Mississippi State should win this game.
Yeah, well, I mean, the one thing you mentioned there was discipline, and I think Mississippi State is a very disciplined program. I don't have their numbers on penalties, but they did not have a lot of penalties throughout the year, and they the stupid kind, where you're offsides, the mental mistake kind of things. And that goes a long way to stopping the triple option, is mentally being prepared to know that the guy next to you has got his assignment and is going to get the guy to the left of him. And so you're doing that and knowing that, it can go a long way to be successful in defending the triple option. So I'm excited. I always like to watch Georgia Tech play, especially when they're good. I mean, they've been really good the last couple of years. And so that's going to be another exciting game. So, I mean, we're 3-for-3 and get ready to go 4-for-4 when we look at the Auburn Tigers and Wisconsin. I mean, Wisconsin had that crazy letdown of a game to end their season with Ohio State, but you still got Melvin Gordon, who this is his last game. I mean, what you got to think he's on a big stage to try to impress, since he's already declared he's going to the draft. And then Auburn's got lots to play with too. Did you have something to close up on Mississippi State first?
Oh no.
Okay. What do you think here?
You know, just the way that these two teams ended the season is pretty interesting. I mean, obviously Auburn in a shootout in the Iron Bowl. I don't really know what you bring out. You know, Muschamp coming in, that could be one thing. But just the way that this Auburn defense has played this season, especially against, you know, top talented guys. I mean, this is another Heisman Trophy candidate that they're going to have to play in Melvin Gordon, who is the real deal. I mean, I don't know how many people have been able to watch him. I saw the highlights. I didn't see, you know, that record-setting performance that he had that, you know, stood a week or whatever it was. But, I mean,
that's
this is
insane,
a guy.
By the way. Yeah.
That is so crazy. And a freshman, to say the least, that broke it. But for Oklahoma, that, you know, broke it the next week. But it's always scary when you play a guy like Melvin Gordon who they are not afraid to give him 30 to 35 touches a game, because they are set on making you beat him. You know, a lot of times we talked about Johnny Manziel, and, you know, the way to beat Johnny Manziel was to take away one of his talents, whether that be normally running, and make him beat you with the throw. Well, a team like Wisconsin especially, Melvin Gordon is essentially their offense. I mean, they have other options, of course, but he's the guy that they are not afraid to, you know, hand the ball off to. They're not a team like Alabama who they're going to sub him out. He's going to get all the touches, and I fully believe that, you know, they could ride Melvin Gordon to victory against this Auburn team, but the same thing is true for Auburn. You know, we saw it against Alabama. When that offense is, you know, running, once again, you know, we said that they weren't going to be as good this year because they had lost Trey Mason, but that passing attack against Alabama was pretty scary. I mean, with Duke Williams and Sammy Coates on the outside, Sammy Coates playing in his last game, Duke Williams probably playing in his last game as well, this could be the last hurrah for this Auburn team that, you know, went to the national championship last year, because, I mean, you look at the talent that they're going to lose after this game, as much as, you know, Will Muschamp probably doesn't want to hear this, there's a lot of talent they're going to lose, especially on the offensive side of the ball. I mean, you look at Cameron Artis Payne's going to be gone. Nick Marshall's going to be gone after this year. Sammy Coates leaving early. Probably Duke Williams leaving early. So many guys. So if you buy into, you know, them kind of wanting to make a statement in their final games as an Auburn Tiger, if that offense can get going, I just don't think Wisconsin can stop it. But then again, I mean, Auburn's going to have to step up and stop Melvin Gordon, too.
Well, in addition, I mean, Wisconsin's got a new head coach.
Yeah.
I mean, that's something else. That's the unknown factor, is how are these kids going to perform under their new head coach? You got to think that right now during the practices, it's a time that they're trying to impress their coach. Unless they're a senior or they know they're not going to be there next year, and maybe they just don't care at that point. And so those are the things we don't know, you know, because now do they want to play for this new guy? Do they want to have to conform to whatever he's asking them to do? But you're right about Gordon. I mean, this is his swan song, so to speak, and you know he's going to have to try to come out and put a impressive performance out there. But defensively, when you get a team like Auburn, who defensively can be, you know, at times really good, and I think you're going to see a much improved defense under Muschamp now that he's even though I don't think he'll be – he's not allowed to coach on the sidelines, correct?
I don't think so. I mean, he's been at practice and stuff, but I don't – I mean, you know, I mean, I don't know how much that plays into it because he could prepare him for it. I guess he can't be on the sidelines, but – you're right. I mean, he's not going to be there in a full capacity for sure.
Even so, even if he can't be on the sidelines, that is going to be, even just with the extra 2 weeks of practice, that's going to be a tougher Auburn defense. For all my dislike of what some of the things Muschamp did and his ability to just totally lose it out on the field, defensively he is, and the way he can scheme for a team defensively is impressive. I was very impressed with him. And I was impressed with the way he handled himself the last 4 or 5 weeks after he knew he was done. For him to play and the way the kids on the Florida program didn't give up on him, that's got to send a strong message to this defensive side of the ball for Auburn to know what they're getting. And they're really going to come out firing on all cylinders, I think. So, as much as I thought this was going to be closer as we start talking about it, you know, I do think this might be a 2-score game by Auburn.
Yeah, I could see it at least being a 10-point victory. And let me point this out. You know, Auburn's been very disruptive, especially last year. Well, even going back to 2010 with Nick Fairley, you know, within the last 5 years, they've had great defensive lines, and this year might be one of the, you know, I guess, you know, less talented defensive lines that they've had, but their best, they are at their best in run stop situations. You know, with D Ford and in the past, I mean, they've been just, you know, disruptive pass rush guys. But this year, with President and a couple of those other guys, Gabe Wright, they've got some big bodies in there, and they're kind of like Alabama. They go, you know, 6 to 7 deep, and especially with a team like Wisconsin, they're going to move the ball a lot slower. And if they're going to commit to the run, Auburn has the bodies to stop that. You know, even though they've been lit up a couple times this year, I think you're right. This could be one of those games that, you know, we might see that SEC, the SEC just might have some better athletes. And if Wisconsin can beat them with the pass, it might be a little different. But I'm not sure that you can ride Melvin Gordon as much as we've talked about. And the fact that he only needs, I think it's a little bit less than 300 yards to break the single season all-time rushing record. And for what all he's done this year, I'm not sure one player makes the team, especially at running back. It's just going to be tough to beat an Auburn team with a great offense, you know, with one guy.
Well, I mean, and you look defensively. I know that towards the end they gave up, you know, 44 to Alabama and gave up a ton of yards. They gave up 34 to Georgia, gave up 41 to A&M, but they held LSU to 7, Mississippi State to 23, Arkansas to 21, Kansas State to 14. I mean, they did a pretty good job earlier in the season defensively. It kind of, the wheels kind of fell off, and stopping one guy, I mean, if they want to learn how to defend Wisconsin, all they have to do is go look at the tape against Ohio State and see what Ohio State did to Wisconsin.
All right.
And make Wisconsin have to do something different. And I don't think they have enough versatility to be able to do that. And so they're going to have to continue to have a game plan similar to what they did against Ohio State, and it will not work against Auburn. That's my opinion, of course. And for what that's worth, it's not much.
And like you said, this probably, you know, if Auburn wins, it probably will be one of the bigger of the three or four games we've talked about already, probably will be one of the bigger SEC wins points-wise. But, you know, even if we're talking interesting storylines, I mean, you got one of the best players playing a great offense. So I could still give you, you know, we've given you 5 or 6 reasons to watch. Definitely not a game to skip out on just because Auburn might win.
It might be a game you can turn over at the end, midway through the third quarter.
Yeah, but, check in on it a little bit.
Yeah, but it's definitely a game that we're all going to be watching. So, that's it for the final or the mid-season part 2 of our bowl previews. Nick, is there anything you want to add? People can follow you on Twitter, can watch, read your work. Tell them how they can do that too. And anything else you want to add before we wrap up?
Yeah, the Twitter is that Nick Jones. got basketball stuff going on. You know, a fun time. You see, you know, this last weekend we saw, I mean, you got a little bit of a gap for football, but football's coming up this weekend, especially getting heavy into that. But, you know, stay tuned to Bama Hammer, BamaHammer.com, all kinds of stuff going up. You know, Alabama plays UCLA. I doubt that they will have nearly the dominating performance that Kentucky did, but we're still hoping for a victory. Hopefully UCLA is not, you know, extremely enthused about coming to Tuscaloosa, but that'll happen on the 28th, and of course the rest of the staff, even me sometimes, but they should have full Sugar Bowl and national semifinal game coverage coming up in the coming weeks. A little bit of a break here for Christmas, but big times ahead. This, you know, when you're at Alabama and you know, some of these bigger schools, SEC schools, when you expect to win championships, you know, your season kind of starts over. That's what Nick Saban would tell you. This is the best part of the season. I mean, you had to do your job to get there, but I would encourage you to stay tuned. I mean, just yesterday, Nick Saban had a great press conference. So new stuff coming up every day, even though the football season's coming to a close. You know, maybe we can get more people to pay attention to basketball now.
We might get them to pay a little bit more attention to basketball, and we'll put more attention to basketball. But let's face it, the football season really almost doesn't end because you just have a week or two's, couple weeks off, and then all of a sudden you're going to get signing day in February.
Yeah.
You know, and so the college is starting to get a few things from the playbook of the NFL. Where you talk NFL 365, there's something going on all the time. You know, college football and with the SEC network, they're finding ways to get football relevant all year round as well. And I'm glad of it because I'll tell you what, late April, May, and June, content gets kind of hard.
Yeah, that lull in between kind of after National Signing Day leading up to the SEC Media Days, you know, we get some content out of SEC Media Days. But you're right. I mean, you know, sometimes kind of like last year, even when basketball's down, not too much to get us to – you know, gather around and do a sports roundtable. So.
Don't even go about it. It better not be as bad as it was last year, because even during basketball, it got hard doing content. So we need a better product, so we've got something to talk about too. Nick, thanks so much for joining me. Happy holidays, Merry Christmas, everything else that is out there. We hope all of you listening have enjoyed this. Enjoy your bowl season. Make sure you clear your calendar for a lot of football. Because the actual real live game performances are going to stop before we know it, and that's going to leave a aching, dull void in your heart. We know that, but we're going to be here to talk other things as well and get you through that on SEC Sports Roundtable. So, guys, thank you all for joining us, and we are going to call this podcast done.